Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Bones, welcome back to the Daily Jungle, TGIF. The grind includes Friday. Hope you were able to denim up, back it in, and took it strong into the holiday weekend. We had enough for nearly three shows today. The trade that sent Justin Verlander to Houston, Ezekiel Elliott's lawsuit, the start of the college football season, the new and improved Lane Kiffin. But throw it all away because Lisa in Indy called in the freaking open, and I caught up with her as one of the most famous lady clones in the entire jungle. You don't want to miss that. We also had three excellent guests, Bruce Feldman, Utah football coach Kyle Whittingham, and LA Chargers tight end Hunter Henry. All of that and Alvy's week that was so roll it, son. So there's a ton of football that I can't talk about, but instead, I'm going to start with some baseball. Why? Because yesterday was one of the busiest days in recent memory. The Dodgers lose to the Diamondbacks. They're swept for the first time all season. CC Sabathia. Go ahead, clones. Do what you're going to do with that, because I know you will anyway. CC Sabathia called out the Red Sox for a first inning bunt. I'm a big CC Sabathia guy. You probably know that. But the fact that he's saying, hey, you know, swing the bat. In other words, he didn't say it like this, but what he implied was, swing the bat, puss. Swing the bat. Don't bunt on a 37-year-old overweight guy with a bad knee. Come on, swing the bat, puss.
Swing the bat, puss.
That's HUD. So CC took a run at the Red Sox for that. Addison Russell hurt his foot, and he's going to miss another 3 weeks. But those aren't even the biggest stories. Why don't we start with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, who took a pair of big swings in adding Justin Upton from Detroit and Brandon Phillips from the Braves. Brass moves for a team that's 1.5 games out of an AL wildcard. I love it. We talked about that trade last night. Actually, the trades. So the Angels pull the trigger. I love it. They took their two weakest positions, left field and second base, and they made them strengths by adding a four-time All-Star with 28 home runs and 94 runs batted in. You think that's going to make their lineup any more dangerous? And again, you think Mike Trout appreciates that very much. He'd never say so, but you know he does, and he should. You think maybe he's pumped up that he doesn't have to carry that team all by himself, that he doesn't have to waste another Hall of Fame season. And as I mentioned, on top of that, you had our guy, Dat Dude BP. But not only was Upton, and I love that pickup, you never see a deal like that this time of year. But not only was that Upton deal not the biggest move of the day, it wasn't even the biggest move involving the Detroit Tigers. Because after a month-long saga, and reportedly, after having a deal in place, only for the main piece of that deal to kill it earlier in the day, within minutes of the deadline, the Tigers and the Astros agree on a deal to send Justin Verlander to Houston. I mean, bam! The team with the best record in the American League just added a future Hall of Famer. Meanwhile, the Tigers' run with Miggy and Verlander is over. Good run while it lasted, but it was time to move on. This year has been a mess for the Tigers. They had to reboot. In fact, the last few years have been a mess, so they decided to rebuild. It's the right thing. I don't blame them at all for that fire sale. On the other hand, the Astros, and this is what's really curious, they're not about rebooting. They're about getting stronger and going deeper. And for a while now, their MO has been to keep their young talent, grow from within, and then supplement with smart deals from the outside. And it's working. They've got the best record in the American League. What they've been doing has been working. But they don't do things like this. They don't give up their young prospects, and they don't take on a ton of salary and pull the trigger on a major deal. That's not what they do. But they did last night. They never make that type of deal. Never give up those types of prospects. Never take on that kind of a contract. But they did both. And to me, they did it at a time when that team and that town needed it most. I think they had to do that, but it's a big swing nonetheless. And I say they had to do it because while they had the best record, have the best record in the American League, they have one of the worst records in all of baseball since the All-Star break. It's a franchise that has only been to the World Series once, the Astros, only once. So when you've got a chance to get there, you pull the trigger, especially since the clubhouse reportedly was so upset that management didn't. at the trade deadline back in July. And the fact is, prior to last night, they probably did not have enough to win it all. And getting Verlander does not guarantee that you will win it all, but doing nothing would have probably guaranteed that they wouldn't. The rotation has been pretty shaky of late. Verlander immediately steps in as their horse, their number one. Because Dallas Keuchel has not been himself since coming off the DL. Lance McCullers is still on the DL. And a team with an 11.5 game lead on September 1st, although a team like that rarely needs to make a move, this team had to. And it's because they're not about winning the division or just getting to the postseason. They're about winning the whole damn thing. And if McCullers comes back healthy, if Keuchel can find his groove, if Carlos Correa gets healthy, look the hell out. And not my money, of course, or my prospects, but I love what both the Angels and the Tigers did. And a quick shout out to my man, Dat Dude, BP. Dat Dude. Dude, for whatever reason, we have not been able to run you down. I hope that that changes now that you're an Angel. In fact, why don't you hit me up once you're settled? I can put in a good word for you at Javier's Crystal Cove, Javier's Irvine Spectrum, Javier's John Wayne Airport, Javier's Las Vegas, Javier's Los Cabos. Any and all of them. Because once you are settled baseball-wise, that's the one thing you have to do life-wise. Hook up at Javier's. Find Javier himself. I mean, really, it's the one thing that all of us in this area do. Once we take care of our business, the things we have to take care of, the very next thing we all do is try to pay our respects to Javier and hope that he and his family like us enough to let us eat at their restaurant. Because going there is not doing Javier and his family a favor. They're letting us eat at their restaurant is. That's how much I like Javier's. So much that they've got one at the airport, John Wayne Airport. And I'd go there just to eat on days when I'm not even flying. Welcome to SoCal, Dat Dude. Now you go pay your respects to Javier. And then once you do that, you pay your respects to the jungle, which has long had your back. Welcome home, Dat Dude. Welcome home. It's great to have you in our backyard. Now pay your respects to the man, and then pay your respects to the jungle. We're right here. BP, we are right here. Bruce Feldman is my guest. Bruce, September 1st, the first full week of college football. Where are you right now, and what is your plan for the weekend?
Well, we had Oklahoma State last night on FS1. After the game was over, Oklahoma State, top 10 team with a couple of Heisman candidates, blew out Tulsa, who was a good team last year. We got in the car, drove to Norman, Oklahoma. We got Lincoln Riley's first game as the head coach in the post-Bob Stoops era. That's on Fox Sports tomorrow. And then from there, I fly home, and we're doing the pregame for UCLA hosting Texas A&M on Sunday on FS1. So it should be it's an awesome weekend. I'm so fired up that college football's finally here.
My man, that's an incredible weekend. All right, so let's talk about a few of these things. Everybody knew, Bruce, that Oklahoma State's offense was going to be explosive. But when you see Mason Rudolph throw for more than 300 yards and the offense put up more than 600 against a Tulsa team that won 10 games last year, what do you think?
You know, Jim, the numbers don't even do it justice. They almost 500 yards offense in the first half alone. If they wanted to, Mason Rudolph could have thrown for 600 yards easy last night. When you see this team in person from the field level, you're blown away by how athletic his skill guys are. Their receiving corps is by far the best in the country. James Washington is a stud. He was great. They have a former five-star recruit who transferred in from LSU, Tyron Johnson. He caught the first touchdown pass. They're big. They're fast. They're physical. And they got a really good running back in Justice Hill. I mean, for people who talk about Mike Gundy and the mullet and everything, the mullet has a legit chance to go to the playoff because he has got the most explosive offense in college football right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen some really, really good offenses from him and from them in the past, but I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like that. Clones, give me a minute. I want to talk to you about Stamps.com. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. I can mail any letter, any package, using just my computer and printer, and the mailman picks it right up. I can avoid the hassle of the post office and mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. And you can create your Stamps account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. Click, print, mail, and you are done. Unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. You can print postage for letters or packages at your own convenience 24/7. It's convenient, it's easy, it's reliable, it's flexible. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the very top of the homepage. Type in Rome. Stamps.com. Enter Rome. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office ever again.
That's Stamps.com.
Now it's back to our Daily Jungle. All right, so now you're in Norman. You're there for the debut of Lincoln Riley against UTEP. What are you expecting to see from him in his first game?
You know, I think this is going to feel like a tune-up. UTEP struggled last year. I mean, their best player is an offensive guard. Maybe Will Hernandez, maybe the best offensive guard in college football, but it's going to be a long day for the Miners. I mean, Baker Mayfield is another Heisman candidate. He has arguably the best offensive line in college football. Now, they got to replace some really good skill guys, and that's going to be a challenge. Defensively, I think Oklahoma has the best personnel in the Big 12. Now, I know a lot of people are going to go, yeah, that's not saying much. It's the Big 12. The question I have is, you know, Mike Stoops is there. His brother's obviously moved on. He's running the defense. Can they be good enough? Because remember, next week, they got to go to Columbus. So this is a tune-up game because Lincoln Riley's first road trip is going to be against Ohio State and Urban Meyer. And that's a tall order, especially for a team that plays in a Big 12 where there isn't much margin for error. I mean, they got left out of the playoff last year. They also have, now they have a playoff game within the conference. And they need to look good in these non-conference games in the first month of the season.
Bruce Feldman joining us. Yeah, there's no doubt he's going to be in deep very quickly, but there's a reason why he's been a rising star for as long as he has. Now, Bruce, I know you're busy this morning, but the New York Times released a story with details of allegations of academic fraud against Florida State football players. Have you had a chance to read that? And if so, what do you make of that report?
I did. You know, it is a really ugly look at big-time college athletics. You know, it's the kind of thing, there's some high-profile players mentioned, you know, allegations of academic fraud. Kelvin Benjamin, who caught the game-winning touchdown when they won the national title a few years ago, he is, you know, he's one of the people at the center of this. The question I have is, you know, what is the NCAA going to do? Because this feels a little like the academic fraud scandal that has been going on for so long at North Carolina. And the NCAA dragged its feet and didn't know how to deal with it. And I think the NCAA, you know, their system of justice is so dubious to begin with. And I think they kept themselves in, okay, now if we weigh in on this, what's going to happen over here? Well, now all of a sudden they have UNC right now on their agenda. That's coming up this, you know, right now. And now all of a sudden here's this explosive Florida State story. And by the way, it's happening 24 hours before Florida State's playing in this, you know, a huge game against Alabama. And so there's a big spotlight on that university. It's not just the football program and how they handled this.
You know, I'm not going to diminish that in any sense, but you're right. They have a big, big game against Alabama coming up in the 24 hours. So putting that aside for a minute, and we'll see how that plays out, and it's going to take time, I'm sure. But the game itself, is the loser of that game eliminated from playoff consideration, or is it early enough and the opponent probably good enough that as long as it's close, they'd still be in the hunt even with a loss?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we, especially those of us cover the sport all year round, sometimes we get over our skis and we see a game result and we overreact, you know, in the moment. I mean, the reality is if Ohio State can come back and win a national title after getting, you know, beaten pretty good by a average Virginia Tech team at home early in the season, I would think Alabama with its track record and Florida State, you know, coming out of the ACC that, you know, has won a couple of national titles in the last few years, there's plenty of margin for error from them. Now, if you lose that game, you can't stumble someplace else. I mean, and it's happened before where a two-loss team has made it to the playoff. Alabama then LSU had done that, and I think Alabama has the credibility where it's a chance. But, you know, to me, this is a preview of what I think are two legit playoff contenders. I have both of those teams going to the playoffs.
We're joined by Utes head coach Kyle Whittingham. Kyle, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How you doing?
Kyle, I'm doing great. Always good to visit with you. Thanks so much. Kyle, I had Dabo Swinney on the show yesterday, and he talked about how he comes into every season with five goals, and the first goal is to win the first game. You won your season opener last night, so how good does it feel, and what'd you make of the way your guys showed up last night?
Well, it's always good to get the first one under your belt, and it was a typical opener, some good, some bad. We got a lot of things to work on, that's for certain. We got way too many penalties last night. We had just about 150 yards in penalties, and didn't wreak havoc on defense like we usually do. We're usually a team that takes the ball away and sacks the quarterback, and weren't good at that last night either. But a lot of positives. Our new quarterback, Tyler Huntley, did some good things and showed a lot of promise. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see how things progress.
And let me say right there, Tyler Huntley had a really nice game, I thought. 300 total yards. He accounted for three touchdowns in his first start. Now, he won that starting job despite the fact that you had Troy Williams coming back from a season where he had nearly 3,000 total yards and 20 TDs. Outside the program, that was seen as a bit of a surprise, but what did you and your staff see in Huntley that led you to believe that he was the right man for the job?
Well, when he first got on campus a year ago, it was very obvious that he's a dynamic player, a big-time playmaker, but he was just a freshman last year and really was trying to force the ball and make plays when there wasn't one there to be made, and just too many mistakes. And so we just felt he wasn't ready for prime time at that point, but he's had a great spring. It was in a heated battle with Troy all spring long. That battle continued in the fall, and bottom line is he beat him out. I mean, he had a higher completion percentage in the competition. He's more mobile, and there's nothing that Troy did wrong. Troy's a heck of a player, won 9 ball games for us last year. But, it's fair is fair. The kid beat him out, and that's where we're at.
Utah Utes head football coach Kyle Whittingham joining us. And Huntley's also working with offensive coordinator Troy Taylor. He came to you from Eastern Washington. He brings with him a fast tempo, quick release passing game, creativity in the running game. So what was it about Taylor and his offense that made you feel like that'd be a good fit?
Well, you outlined his offense exactly. I mean, he's had very, very good success doing what he's doing, and he knows what he wants in a quarterback. He's been tutoring quarterbacks and mentoring them for 20, 30 years, and so he's a guy that knows exactly what he's looking for. And he thought Tyler possessed the exact skill set and has the upside that we need in this offense. And based on his first game, I think he was very, very solid, like we talked about. And if he can continue to trend upward, then he's got a chance to turn into an outstanding QB.
Kyle Whittingham joining us. You mentioned the defense and how maybe these guys were not wreaking the kind of havoc that you were looking for. But you replaced a lot of talent on defense. We've also said that this group could be even better than last year's defense. What have you seen that made you feel that way?
Well, first of all, we start up front. We got, in my opinion, the best defensive front in the Pac-12 and one of the best in the country, and that's a great starting point to have a great defense is with your down guys. And we've got three seniors that are headlining that group, Lolo Tulele, Filippo Mocofisi. Those are our two D tackles, and then Kylie Fitz out on the edge. And so that's a great nucleus to start with. Linebackers are experienced. We had the whole group of linebackers back from last year. We did have a rebuild in the secondary with the exception of Chase Hansen, our safety. Otherwise, every other guy in the secondary, we play a nickel secondary, so the other four guys back there are brand new. But short on experience, but long on talent. We think that as the season progresses, those guys are going to get better and better.
Don't look now, but you got BYU coming up already. So I would say maybe sometimes there might be a letdown after the first game of the year. I know that's not the case when you've got your rival coming up next. And you and I have talked about it, but it's amazing still. You've been on both sides of this rivalry. For those who have never been a part of this particular rivalry or been to a game, how would you describe the intensity of this matchup?
Well, it's off the charts as far as that goes, and it's the single biggest sporting event in the state of Utah every year. I mean, that's, the state rallies around this game. It's very important to the state of Utah, and it's got a little different feel to it. When we went to the Pac-12 and we're no longer in the same conference, it kind of changed the dynamic of the game a little bit, and then we missed a year. A couple years back, it was on the shelf for a season, and so, but it's back and it's scheduled, I think, all the way through the mid 2020s, and so It's a big event in the state of Utah, and lately we've been playing it up early in the season because of, the Pac-12 schedule doesn't allow you to play it later on, and so it's something that everyone gets excited for, and I think it's one of the most underrated rivalries in the country.
And Brandon Phillips from the Braves, brass moves for a team that's 1.5 games out of an AL wild card. I love it. I love what? I looked over at my call screen right here. You know what? You know how you sometimes hear me say, I'll break format for the right call? That I've got the open, I want to rant out, let it go. But I will often say, I will break format for the right telephone call. And then I never get the right telephone call. This is a perfect, perfect example of breaking format for the right telephone call. Now, who would I break format for? What kind of a phone call would I get? Would it be from a smack-off champ? Would it be from an old-school caller? Would it be from an athlete? Any and all of the above.
Give me back my son.
Not for him. Not for him, Alvy. Or it might be for somebody like this, who made one of the most famous calls in the history of the program, but hasn't called in a very long time. This call was reset earlier this week.
That's just a really bad idea.
What's that?
Wrestling with socks on. It's a huge turnoff.
Is it?
Yes, to look down and see socks. Especially, okay, businessmen, your black socks halfway up your calves. No.
Well, how about athletic socks that only go to your ankles?
No, that's not any better by any means. Especially, if you're wrestling that when you look down, that's just no good, too.
All right, so jungle old schoolers know who that is. That's the famous Lisa in Indy. I mean, when you talk about war lady clones, I mean, she pretty much got that whole thing started. So, but I said, like, the way the show is, there will be people who listen to the show, call the show, and do so year after year after year after year, and then they drop off for years. It's life. It happens. It gets in the way. And I said, we hadn't heard from Lisa in a long time, and I didn't know what happened to her. But that'll happen. And lo and behold, in segment number one on a Friday, who calls the program but the queen herself, Lisa in Indy. Lisa, is that really you?
It's really me, Rome. How are you?
Lisa, how are you?
I'm awesome. I feel so bad because it does feel like I've dropped off the planet, but life happens. We've had two kids. Like, I'm not keeping up with much sports other than the sport of, like, trying to get them to eat in under 45 minutes. And, I mean, you had small kids once. They're probably, like, super grown now, but...
No, I know. I know how that sport goes. I've been a part of that, so I know exactly what you're talking about. So, Lisa, when you hear that call, and it was such a famous call, what do you think now, a couple years later, when you've got a couple of kids?
Oh, I hope they don't ever hear it, I guess.
Right.
It's still super great advice. But maybe when they get a little older. Layla's only 6 and Dylan's 4, so they've got some time.
Yeah, but how did that happen? How did that happen? Already 6 and 4. I mean, do you believe where the time goes?
I know, right? I know. I feel like the last time I called you, I think we had just had Layla. So it's crazy. I'm so sorry. And I just want to say no disrespect. One of my girlfriends, smoking hot, Gina, I tell her, I'm like, you need to become the new lady clone that calls in, but... She's always texting me and calling me. Oh, my gosh, you're on Rome right now. You need a call. But I don't know. Yeah. Life, like you said, it's been busy, and really had a chance. So nothing against you guys or the clones. I still love the show, love what you do, but it's just been a little, life's been a little busy.
No offense taken. I completely understand. I've seen it myself a million times. Lisa, it's so good of you to check in. Now, Gina, I don't know that you can just hand the baton to Gina. She knows what you're about or what you used to be about. This is a very difficult act to follow. I don't know that she would ever get on the air and say what you said.
I don't know. She's up there. I think you might be surprised. She's Italian, and she's got a mouth on her, and I think you would not be disappointed. But
War Lady Clones.
And I'm getting some time on the air a little bit. I just recorded a commercial for a local pharmacy that I think is going to run on our ESPN Fort Wayne station and WoWo Radio and a couple other states for generic Viagra.
Lisa, I'm not at all surprised because you have great pipe. You have a very nice voice, and I think you could speak to exactly what it is you're trying to sell. I think you'd be good at that. I think you'd move that product. I think it would work.
Oh, man. I don't know.
And before
you were doing well. The family's good? Everyone's good?
Everybody's great. Janet's great. The kids are great. Jake is now a junior in high school. We're looking at colleges.
Shut up.
Logan just started junior high. At least, how about this? Remember back in the day, the whole thing was always about what does she look like? What does she look like? Will we see a picture? Well, here's a different version. The CEO says, is Lisa on Twitter?
No, I'm not. I'm like a grandma. I'm on Facebook, but I like barely even get on that.
Got it.
You know what? I'm not that great. Clones, like, it's nothing awesome, but I guess I don't know. I'm not ugly, but you've seen my picture, Ron. I haven't changed much from the ones I sent you guys.
Well, then you got nothing to worry about, Lisa. You got nothing to worry about if you haven't changed much, because you're fine. They would think you're great. Believe me, I always protected you by not letting that picture out, and I did see the picture back in the day, and they would think you are great. So that's not true.
Thanks.
Listen, it is so good to hear your voice, and it's so good to know you're still around, which I knew, but it's great to have you call up. Lisa, thanks. That was awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing well, and you've always got my support.
Love it, Lisa.
What you do.
All the best, Lisa. You're the best. War Lady Clones. Remember a couple of weeks back when the NFL announced that it had finished its investigation into the Ezekiel Elliott domestic violence case? Remember when it felt like that investigation had gone on forever? Well, it's nowhere close to being done. Elliott had his appeal this week and filed a lawsuit against the NFL yesterday, which means this case is going to go on for a lot longer, and it's going to get a lot uglier and more confusing, so strap in. Meanwhile, Team Elliott claims that NFL Director of Investigations Keita Roberts believed that the victim, quote, was not credible in her allegations of abuse, end quote, and that there wasn't evidence to back up the claims, and Roberts recommended there be no suspension at all. So how do we get from the NFL Director of Investigations recommending no suspension to 6 games for Elliott? If true, how can this be happening again? If true, the more things change, the more they stay exactly the same. Hunter Henry is my guest. Now, you come into a great situation, obviously, where, among other things, you can kind of learn under Antonio Gates, who's had an amazing career. What are the types of things that maybe you've picked up from him so far?
Man, a lot. That dude's he's all-time, one of the all-time greats. I mean, he's unbelievable. It's really special that I get to be around a guy like that every single day and be in a room with him, learn from him, be around him. We have a great relationship, like a brother, like a big brother to me. He's done a lot for me, just on and off the field. I've tried to pick up as much as I can as long as he's here. But I think it's just, how smart he is. And he's picked up a lot. He's 15 years in the league. He's picked up a lot, trying to learn from what he sees when he's running his routes, when he's doing different things in the field, and then just trying to watch some of the things. Sometimes I can't do exactly what he's going to be able to do. He's just sometimes blessed with some abilities that I don't have, but at the same time, I can apply what he does and his routes and the different things that he does to my game.
Dude, I mean, if I can even just drop a dude, like, I've done this a long, long time. I have trouble even remembering that team without that guy, without Antonio Gates. He's always been there. And if that weren't enough, you step into a situation where you can work with and learn from one of the best to ever do it. And then you've got a quarterback in Phillip Rivers, also one of the best to ever do it. What was it like stepping onto the practice field for the first time with him at quarterback?
Pretty crazy. I mean, I remember the first kind of time in OTAs and, all that kind of stuff, off-season workouts. Of last year, my rookie year of, getting out there, you remember watching him as a kid, so, and playing with him on Madden and stuff like that. So it was kind of crazy. It was wild. I remember just catching my first ball from him, like, goodness, dude, this is cool. Like, and his, like, every time he throws the ball to you, it's like perfect. I'm like, goodness, dude, this is the NFL. Like, this is crazy. But he is unbelievable. I can continue to say that day after day, being around him. He's one of the best.
Yeah, Hunter, I guarantee people are listening right now going, man, I didn't know this guy was so cool. I really like this guy. And then on top of that, you're getting a lot of attention in fantasy football circles. What do you make of that? I mean, do you appreciate the love from fantasy football owners? Or maybe does it bother you when people are constantly hitting you up in public and talking to you about how you're impacting their fantasy team? Not your team, mind you, their fantasy team.
Yeah, that's the funny thing I kind of found out last year, because I don't think many people know me or even knew me last year. They just kind of knew I was this guy on fantasy that got him some points and won him a championship or something. You don't know how many times I heard that in the offseason. Man, like, thanks for winning me this fantasy game or winning me this. So I heard about it all offseason. I don't even know if people really know what I look like or who I am, but if once they heard my name, they'd be like, oh, yeah, you're that guy that helped me win on fantasy.
It is so much better to hear that than, hey, man, you're that guy who lost me the championship. You're the guy who cost me the championship. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
Much better to hear the other. You know, before I let you go, you talked about the influence that Antonio Gates had, Philip Rivers has had. Your father, Mark, played football at Arkansas. So what was it like growing up as his son? And then how much of an influence did he have on you as a person and how you approach football?
Oh, he's, you know, the biggest influence in my life I've ever had. I mean, and I give everything I have to him. And if I can be half the man he is, you know, I'll be doing some of it great. So, you know, I look up to my dad tremendously. And then also, I feel like in my household, he was an offensive lineman. So he kind of put some – he put toughness in our house, put toughness, you know – to me, I take pride in my blocking. I take pride in being a two-way guy, a guy that can play every single down. And I think growing up in a household with, you know, two other brothers and a little sister and my dad, it was just, you know, football was a tough sport and, you know, we're going to be tough. You're going to get down and dirty. And, you know, he was offensive lineman, so he kind of just taught us that. To push through injuries, to, you know, just be the toughest, meanest guy out there and try to be the best every single time you step out there.
Hunter, one last thought. I know you got engaged last month. I always tell younger guys that you got to think that through because once you get engaged, everybody will always ask you, not right after it happens, but literally for the rest of your life, oh, really? Where did you do it? How'd it go down? So you got engaged last month. Can you take me through the proposal? I mean, I know this is personal, but, like, what was the plan going in? How did it go? And then how are wedding plans going?
Yeah, it was pretty special. I was going to do it. I had thought about doing it maybe after the season, but I was like, man, the season's so long. I mean, that's so far away. I want to knock it out before the season. Me and her have been dating for about 3 years. And so I set it up to where I was in Arkansas, in Fayetteville, where the campus is. And I set her up and told her that we were doing an interview with one of our local radio guys. So I told her they're doing a special on me. He's done some specials on people and stuff in the past. He's a good friend of mine. And so I told her it was an interview, and it was just going to be an interview, and that's it. So she could dress up and kind of get ready and get kind of dolled up so she would look good for the pictures. Set it up. We went out to the Arkansas field, and he asked, like, probably three or four questions, and then finally kind of asked just like, what do you think the future holds for your guys' relationship, Hunter? And I was just kind of like, glad you asked that, man. And got down on one knee and did the whole thing. Wedding planning, I've kind of stepped off. I'm kind of like backing away, letting her kind of plan the wedding. And I mean, I was in camp for probably in the last month, so I haven't really been able to do anything anyway. But she's doing good. We've got the wedding schedule. We're going to do it in Little Rock next summer. It's going pretty good, and letting her kind of do the whole thing.
We had things back in the day called tour stops, and they were, in effect, they were station visits. Not like I do them now, kind of like I do them now. When I do a station visit right now, what happens is I'll go in, I'll do the show from either the station or in some cases like a lounge, like in NoCal. And maybe then an appearance in a local bar. Back in the day, we did tour stops. I did appearances, and I did them in arenas. I did them in stadiums, or I would do them in bars. But mostly the tour stops were out of state in big venues, and they worked everywhere. Cleveland, Sacramento, Detroit, Kansas City, Buffalo, Denver, San Diego, Nebraska, Green Bay, all places where we did tour stops, and they crushed. They were off the hook, every one of them. And then at some point, our LA affiliate at that time said, hey, you know, we need him here. We're his biggest affiliate. Rome, we're your biggest affiliate. This is your town. You're from this town. You know, you're going all over the freaking country. Why don't you just stay in your backyard? And I remember going to a couple of the suits and saying, you know, I don't want to do that. It just didn't feel right to me right now. Just right now, it didn't feel right because the affiliate was like tape delaying the show, and there just wasn't that same buzz and that same vibe. And of course, the suit said, is that your opinion? Okay, we'll take that under advisement. You're doing it. I said, listen, I'm just telling you, I'm living the life, all right? I'm the guy hosting the show, and this affiliate's not treating us very well. They run the show out of sequence. They tape delay it. I'm just telling you, it doesn't feel right. Okay, your opinion matters to us, Rome. It really does. You're doing it. I said, all right. I tried to warn you. It's not going to go well. I just feel like kind of a buzz that's not a healthy buzz. So we go to the Universal Walk, and I walk into this joint. And by the way, at that time, we did the show live at the events. We used to do the shows live. So anything could happen. So I jam into this place, and you cannot get in. You have wall to wall, people out the door, a line around the block, but it's not a good wall to wall, man. It's anxious. I'm seeing different sides of different rivalries, and it's not good. And it's building. And sure enough, I start to roll the guests in. Andrea Kramer, you may know Andrea Kramer, a reporter, excellent reporter, was one of the guests. She shows up, and the clone starts saying extremely sexist things in a chant. So now my worst dreams are being realized. And I had my guy Don McLean, who was there, and Don has seen everything, heard everything, so he didn't flinch. But the vibe was bad. I get on the air. I can't hear anything. I'm getting a bad vibe from certain people in the front row, and it looks like it's going to go off. It's going to explode. People are going to throw, or they may rush the stage, and they're screaming sexist things at a female guest. We literally pull the plug 5 minutes in. We stop doing the show on air. 5 minutes in, we call one of our other guests, Dave Taylor, in L.A. King, who was in a limo on the way over, and said, turn him around. He's got to go back. We're not doing it. We're not doing the show. It's off. It's over. We pulled the plug on a tour stop. We pulled the plug on a broadcast because that's how fierce the vibe was. And it really hasn't happened very often. But it was a near riot. Because there were so many people jammed into one space, and not everybody was there for the right reason. And not everybody was happy to see everybody. So that's the riot that he was talking about. It was pretty fierce. It wasn't an actual riot. There was an actual riot in my first ever remote. So when I started at 6:90 a.m., you hear about the night show. I talk about that sometimes. 7 p.m. to 12 midnight. 5 hours, AM radio, night. You can only imagine the tweakers, burners, and alkies that were calling at 11 o'clock at night on AM radio back in the day. 1991, I think, they send me to a bar to do the show. I have never done a remote in my life. There's no internet. I have no idea what to expect. I don't know if anybody's even listening. I don't know if they're going to come. I don't know if anybody's going to show up. I'm doing a radio program from a major market in public for the first time ever. And it's in Los Alamitos. And the place is called, I can't believe I'm skitzing on that right now. Famous place. I don't know. Some of you old school clones could hit me up right away with it. I go out there and it's a 5-hour show. It starts off fine. And I see these dudes. And these dudes, definitely Jim Guy was in the house. Dudes are roided out of their minds. I don't know what they're on back in the day. Whatever was in vogue at that time, because these dudes were shredded, but not in a natural way, though. I knew it. And they were fine, man. They were cool. Because this was back in the day. This is when the whole jungle first took form. Everybody was on their best behavior. But it's a 5-hour show, and we're in a bar, and the drinking starts. Raider fan starts drinking. Then Raider fan, and Raider fan, you know I'm not coming for you. I love the Raiders. I love Raider fan. But because I got my start at a San Diego radio station, which was regional, Charger fan and Raider fan hated each other's guts on air. We knew this. And now we're in a bar in Los Alamitos, which is kind of like Orange County. It's halfway between L.A. and San Diego. So we have Raider fan and Charger fan. And they're in the bar at the same time, and both groups start doing shots. And part of the group that's doing shots is also into some pharmaceuticals. I just see it. I know. And it started off fine. Everybody was sitting on their hands, on their best behavior. And then the mood started to turn. It started to get ugly. And about halfway through it, I'm kidding, I'm not even embellishing this, dudes started to throw chairs, tables got overturned, and it was on. Dudes were letting their hands go. Dudes were getting the hands. I get up literally, and I think maybe even on a table. Like, this is my responsibility to chill everybody out. Some bouncer at the bar, who was in way over his head, says, hey, Rome, by the way, sit down. Go over there where it's safe, Rome. My engineer was under a table, literally physically under a table, like an earthquake had happened. And the cops came in and they cuffed these guys and they pulled them out. There were arrests at my first ever Mr. B's. That was the name of the place, Mr. B's. There were cops arresting Raider fan. The dudes were on roids. I saw them. They walked them out of there, silver bracelets and all, and that was that. And I finished the show. But then I couldn't wait to get on the air the next day and talk about it, so I started talking about the riot in Los Al. One of the sales guys comes in, obviously a sales guy who repped the account. He goes, hey, Rome, during a commercial break, hey, man, you got to stop saying that, like, right now. I said, stop saying what? He said, about it being a riot last night. Take my word for it. It was a freaking riot. Dudes were being hauled out of there in cuffs. They were getting arrested. Yo, anyway, just stop saying it. Stop saying what? What happened? It was a freaking riot, bro. A riot. You sent me to a bar to do a show, which I did. I did my job, and a riot ensued. Yeah, anyway, stop saying it if you want to stay on the air. I'm not sure we ever went back there. Okay, this guy knows. This guy used to travel to the events. Silk. In fact, I'm just going to ask him. Brah, how many tour stops do you think you went to over the years?
Oh, brah, if you, I mean, it depends on what you call tour stops, brah. If you count Out of Bounds in Huntington Beach, which was, there were no fights at, I mean, it's got to be 20, 30 something. I mean, remember the Charlie Brown's World Tour? I mean, you know, we had it going
on
back then.
All right, those aren't, okay, like Charlie Brown's, those were appearances and not tour stops. In terms of appearances, you're right. So you've probably been to dozens, but in terms of the World Tour, the tour events, if I did 36 of those, I bet you went to 15 or 20 of them. Out of state.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely, man. Those were really fun. And while you're going to take the high road and not blame Raider fan, I will blame Raider fan. I have no problem doing that. That Universal City one, not to get too inside baseball, but if I remember correctly, you did the national show first, and that was the 1 hour AM 1150 LA show you were doing. So I remember calling you. I knew it was bad before you even got there. I called the national show and said, dude, things are getting pretty hairy here. It was the logistics, bruh. They didn't have you in a raised area. They literally had you at a like 8-foot folding table with those stanchions with the plastic chain. And the crowd was maybe 3 feet away from you. That was the setup they had there. It was awful. And Raider fan was well lubed by the time you got there. But that thing was never going to come off correctly, ever.
Dude, you nailed that. That's exactly what that was. I was not raised up. I literally was 3 feet from Raider fan. And you're right. We had the national show. Then we had the local show. And you got there. And everybody was there waiting for me to get there. And they started early. They started early. And not everybody in that audience liked everybody. And let's be straight. Not everybody in that audience liked me. That was a bad idea from the jump. And it went pretty much the way we thought it would, brah.
Absolutely. And you had, if I remember correctly, also, you had just gotten married, I think, that year, and you brought Janet. And this was the one tour stop that Terrence actually showed up to with his brother. And that was cool. And Janet couldn't be nicer. But most of the time was spent, because I remember I called the national show. And at that time, I think Carl was answering the phone, you know, Jim Rome show. And we were just like, this is going to be crazy. And we spent most of our time outside this big patio with a ping pong table. But yeah, it was. Logistically, that's when you used to crack on that 1 hour and the 1150 thing. They just had it completely wrong. I mean, you, like I said, you probably had a better setup at Mr. B's than you did for that show, bro.
So I got to ask you now, are you rolling tape on me like I'm rolling tape on you? Are you taping this?
I'm not taping this. I'm not worried about you, Jim.
Big day in the jungle. What's going on? I am Jim Rome. Let's get it. Mayweather McGregor, the most hype fight ever. The truth is, nothing ever, ever lives up to the hype. Never. But this did. Hell, I might even go as far as to say it exceeded the hype.
Yeah!
It's the notorious one still standing.
That's it.
This was not the debacle everybody kept saying it would be. In fact, it was way better than Mayweather-Pacquiao. I got my money's worth, and I've got no complaints whatsoever. And if you've got a problem with this fight,
turn off your station.
I'm guessing you've got a problem with yourself. Kevin Ioli.
Yeah, I did not think Robert had that good of a night. I think the hammer fist should have been called. You can't be hitting on top of the head like that.
You've been strangled on live TV.
I love this guy's gladiator vibe. And if he's going out, he's going out in a body bag. No doubt about the stoppage. It was the right call.
Is he?
only job you'll be able to get is on as that dunk, because your ears are starting to elongate and your teeth are starting to buck, you jackass.
Jeff Passan.
It was a first place finish, non-gimmick, non-script reading division. I heard from more underground clones.
Are we talking about just friends of yours or industry types or both?
No. Major League Baseball general managers, president of a football team, college football, one assistant coach. We're talking agents.
Thomas in Bonanza, Oregon.
And the next thing I know, I find you on the radio, bro. I didn't even know you had a radio show.
That's incredible.
I didn't know you were on the radio, dude. Like, I used to watch you on TV.
Oh, for me, groggy, jolly, jolly, grog. Oh, for my beer and green tobacco. For a spin all me.
I know this. You're going to have the most badass smoker in the history of Bonanza. A master, Bill.
We are joined by the head coach at UAB, Bill Clark.
My stand in line was, you know, who's going to play your part in the movie? You know, because this is going to be a movie. You know, and the NCAA told us they'd never seen anything like it.
We're talking about people who have lost their homes. We're talking about people who have lost everything. And you're really talking to me about a competitive advantage. You're really talking to me about where these games should be played. I mean, seriously, to me, it's embarrassing.
Everybody in Houston, stay safe. We're thinking about you.
Plenty of people in plenty of places do care and are handling it the right way. Frank Gore's my guest. There is no timetable for Andrew Luck to return.
You know, we'll be fine. You know, that's a big hit that, you know, our leader not stand. But young quarterback Scott Tolzien and the other guy, they've been competing and getting better each day.
Put it in your phone, 949-385-0447. Because you know I'm checking him no matter what. And again, if I'm there, I'll pick up.
Next message.
Money Mac, that.
Rob Riggle, is it true that at spring training this year, your son George got to play with Mike Sweeney and George Brett?
You are awesome, Jim. Your team, whoever did the research, is awesome.
We are joined right now by Major Applewhite.
We just all kind of came to the conclusion and said, listen, you know, when we get on this bus, we're parents first. We're parents on Friday night. We're parents on Saturday morning. Practice comes around Saturday afternoon.
Let's keep it right here in Vegas. Dave in Vegas. Dave, good to have you. Good morning. What's up?
Correction, Dave. It's G Money.
That was absolutely incredible what just happened. Hey, Dave in Vegas, what's up? Correction, Dave. My name is G Money. Your name is still Dave. Your gloss is G Money. My name is Jim.
Thanks for the vine, Jimmy. I can finally say that I found me pot of gold.
AJ Hinch.
Sports is an outlet for people in a lot of different ways on a daily basis, let alone when stuff like this happens. And we want to make Houston proud. One of the fastest ways to get back to normalcy is do the normal thing.
Email.
Is the surprise equine guest none other than Sarah Jessica Parker.
The most spectacular, unimaginable.
If that's the most spectacular, that's about the lamest email ever. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, man. John Elway in studio?
Thank you to John Elway.
My man Alex Solis in studio. Is Shared Belief a Hall of Famer? Will he get in the Hall of Fame one day?
You know, I would hope so. I truly believe if Shared Belief stayed healthy up to the Triple Crown, you would never have heard of California Chrome, because he just wasn't in the same league, I don't believe.
That Jim Rome podcast, son, is not whack.
Dabo Sweeney is my guest.
Like Clark Griswold and Rusty standing there at the Grand Canyon going, yep, Rusty, that's the Grand Canyon. And they look at each other for about 30 seconds and go, ready to go? And boom, they're out of there. You know, it's not a Grand Canyon moment. It's one of those things that you want to go do again.
Twitter. Or the Legends Football League. All right, so Brendan must have heard me on K-Rock this morning. They've got arguably the nation's finest morning show. They run L.A. Brass moves for a team that's 1.5 games out of an AL wild card. I love it. I love what? Wait, what? What? I will break format for the right telephone call. This is a perfect example.
How are you?
Lisa.
One of my girlfriends, looking hot, Gina. I tell her, I'm like, you need to become the new lady clone that calls in.
Gina from Indy has a master built smoker. And about halfway through it, dudes started to throw chairs. Tables got overturned.
Getting pretty hairy here.
And it was on. Dudes were getting the hands.
These hands.
It was a freaking riot, bro.
Alvy, my man. You up that theme from the X-Files.
They just kind of knew I was this guy on fantasy that got him points and won him a championship.
Well, I appreciate it. You're the best.
You got to be CIA or something.
Plasma and fire and ice coming from a dragon's mouth.
Nostradamus.
Straight freaking fire.
Message deleted.
Dada.
Go dominate life, man. Bingo.
A 6.5.
Panic tank.
Are you kidding me with this?
You're wrestling that
one
you look down.
Oh, I hope they don't ever hear it.
Good night now!
I don't know, Alvin. That's as good as it gets. That is one of your best ones ever. Alvin DeLauro with the week that was. Not? Why the hell not? It's Friday. It's a long holiday weekend. I've only got 1 hour left. I've got good interviews coming up. It's been a good day. What could happen? Parody Larry. A show first. Back-to-back days. Not because I have to, not because I need to. I literally want to. Parody Larry. Larry, what's going on?
Albie, my man, cue up that theme from The X-Files.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Larry, the only thing worse than you not starting your calls with parodies is you breaking another rule of the jungle. Do not ask my engineer to produce your call. This is not a Parody Larry rule. This is a clone rule. You are not to ask Alvin for any production. He's my engineer, not yours. You don't ask Alvin what to do. You don't tell Alvin what to play. You don't tell Alvin what kind of production to drop. You don't tell Alvin what to edit. You don't tell Alvin what to produce. You don't tell Alvin jack. You don't address Alvin for any reason. Larry, and that's why you got broken off again much faster this time than you did yesterday. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for listening to the brand new Jim Rome podcast. Episode 2 with Bob Costas drops on Tuesday, and I'm working on another incredible guest that you're going to want to hear. Now, have an incredible Labor Day weekend. Check back on Tuesday for 2 new podcasts. I'm out.